This is a production of Cornell University.
Everybody, it is Monday, November 11th, 2019, Veterans Day, at 1:11 p.m. I'd like to call the meeting to order. We're just going to take a second to get connected to the projector, but I figured we could start for now. 1:11 p.m. If there are any questions, comments, concerns about the minutes, or if anyone would like to make a motion to approve or table, etc., I open the floor to that.
I move approval, but I know we're still looking. So.
Was there not enough time for everyone to review the minutes?
Well, in theory, there was enough time. You know, it's just other things interfere with one's time.
And there's a motion on the floor to approve. It's seconded. Is there any discussion about people with concern on voting? Okay. So, all in favor of approving the minutes from the October 28th meeting? Jen, is there a vote?
I'm abstaining because I was. Okay. I wasn't good.
So, we have, I'm sorry, could you guys hold your clockers up again? 5. I have to vote. Sorry.
I think it's 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah, 5.
Actually, it's just the majority of the meeting, correct? Mm-hmm. So then I can abstain also. So 5 yes, 2 abstentions. So that is me. So for the first item on business of the day, I just wanted to give like a brief update of the November 5th UA meeting. Our resolution was passed. So that's exciting. Hopefully we'll continue to be able to do the good work that we've been doing. Also, I asked and I made motions, 2 of them, and the UA will be able to vote via email if we send forward our first draft to open that draft to public comment and the administration, so we won't have to wait until the next meeting if we finish that prior, and then also with our subcommittee and the CJC, if we have a list of candidates for the vacant UHRB positions, we're also able to submit those. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to do everything for the next UA meeting. Is there anyone else who has anything to add from the meeting that they feel is pertinent for the committee? Okay, so the next item, B, is a continuation of work on the campus code of conduct. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to briefly stand by and try to grab it back up on the screen.
While we're waiting, can I make one comment?
Of course, Lisa.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Richard for all the work on the prohibited conduct.
Yes.
As I know, it looked like I said, no, do it this way on every single one, which was really more of kind of a wording thing than anything, but it was incredibly helpful to have him put into that kind of understandable language. So anything that I said that where I it was a wording disagreement was really not reflecting anything other than wording, but thank you very much for that.
Richard?
No, I love these. So I went through this morning Lisa's recommendations and took almost all of them and plugged them in. So you know, we're really literally on the same page. There are a couple questions where I didn't understand something, but they're minor. So I was really quite pleased because
it made it so much easier to read.
That's usually true. Somebody goes through and just shapes it up, then you can see where you're. Mm-hmm. You know, the differences are and do it. Mm-hmm. So it, but thank you and thank you.
So overall, thank you to the whole committee. We have been really active this year, and we were just saying prior to the meeting that this having quorum every single meeting has been really incredible, and it's because of all of you, and a special big thanks to Risa and Richard for the crazy amount of hours they have spent over the past 2 weeks. We wouldn't be a CJC without any of us, but thank you so much to everyone for the willingness to take on additional work. And we will get to you all soon. And Irene, if you want to join the table, you can as well. Just
I'm here.
Okay.
So you know where I'm at.
Okay.
But if you want to later.
Okay.
Just tap me on the shoulder.
Thank you.
Just push him out the way. Don't worry. Just a little gentle. It was more fun.
No, it's the online. So you'll be making updates, or yes, you'll have to.
I guess I'll look
there.
Sorry, I've like brought an adapter, but that doesn't work.
If it's all right with everybody, I recommend that somebody move that we go through business of the day, section C, before B, and just talk about that quickly as we're still setting up. So Gavin makes that motion.
I move that we go through
all
business
right.
C.
Second. Or a second. So I'm all in favor. Any opposed? And I'll abstain. So yeah, just quickly, we created a subcommittee in our last meeting, and it is Laura and Gavin. So thank you both so much for stepping up to the plate. I know that we
don't have a list yet.
Do not have a list, which I do have. Michelle sent me a list, and I sent it forward to Gina, and Gina was going to compile along with past applicants and see the protocol. So are there any other updates?
Yeah.
Gavin, I think
so
you might be able to speak
to it. After the UA meeting, I talked to Gina, and then I, 3 hours ago, just, re-upped it. To check in.
Okay.
So I can get that list.
So okay. And then you and I can send them.
Yeah, I don't think it'll take more than one meeting. And we'll have to look into the bylaws and see how far you can go outside of the people who have applied in the previous cycle, because if you don't want to take, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but if there's not that number of people that you'd feel comfortable pushing forward, there are definitely other members of the community who would be interested in serving, and we can look into whether we can put out a feeler to people who have served in the past and are still interested, because I know that we have at least one member, and I'm hoping that once we have that information from Gina, it's not going to be a lot for you both. You can send it forward to the committee. I'm going to recommend that we also vote via email on this one, and somebody moves that we can vote via email and look through and do those recommendations. So Gavin's going to move that we can vote via email.
Second.
Laura's going to second. Any comment or concern about voting via email the vacant positions to the university hearing and review boards before we send them onward to the UA? All right, so all in favor? Any opposed? And then just the one abstention, so that moves, and that's going to be exciting. Thank you both again. I'm excited to see those recommendations, and like I said, we're a well-oiled machine because everyone is so willing and able to take on additional roles, and that's really appreciated. I think I can say that on behalf of all of us. So back to B. It looks like we're up and running. I think a large part of what we're going to have to discuss before we send this through is going to be the JA position. And so, Richard, how would you feel about talking a bit about changes?
And I can leave too, if that.
Yeah, like your recommendations that you've made over the past week, you and Risa jumping in.
Yeah, I worked on this before Risa did it. So Risa's really You're not responsible.
Yeah, it's both of you. So
she's the lead person on this section. Mm-hmm.
You're further down.
When we get to the JA section, I went and looked at the existing code, and you know that. Yeah, when we get to that section, I think we see this existing section for the code is. Here we go. Is pages 11, 12, and 13. So it's quite long,
mm-hmm.
Or comparatively long.
Yeah.
And you know we've had in the past in the UA we've had some discussions about changes in the wording, and some of the changes were made last year. But on the whole, I prefer the existing language to this section.
Excuse me, that's not the section that we're talking. Not the right section.
No, that's not the right section because we want to be at the where the dean of students is.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. That's where. No, that's not it. Or wait a minute. Maybe it is. Where are you? Let's see. There. Determination. Yes.
I think I just left in both versions because we weren't clear on
what to anyway,
do.
That's going to...
It's the part that, it says Section 4 of the code says 4 provisions, but it's different. And then it says authority and administration of the code. Yeah, it is that
there
part.
Is
yeah.
That. So at some point, I mean, we could start there, but there... That's going to be the big decision, and basically, when the time comes, if you want you're doing now, I would move substituting the existing code language for what they have here. But
a question.
Yeah.
So this. I can't seem to find my Google Drive, which is not shocking. Can we share it out again? I don't know. Sorry. I might already be on it, but having it again. Oh.
No, that's what I did.
Okay. Yeah. Because I searched for it, because I was like,
Should I have send it to the list there, please? Could you add assemblies also?
But I guess my question is, because this shows up in the other documents, the procedures document, like the JA role itself, I guess we're making a full determination on like the JA, how it would be standardized across both in the procedure section and this section, or at least the two documents. So as everyone seems like that's correct, I'm not like losing any of my rules, that's great. I guess the reason why I would personally oppose that, Richard, because I do believe, like, the way we currently have the position set up, it is a really difficult task because you're institutionally isolated from student campus life, and most issues relate to policies under campus code of conduct, but occur within the student's campus life setting. And I only see this as a benefit for the JA. I see this as a benefit professionally, for students, personally, in any regard. And I think that, as it currently stands, an independent JA is not actually, it has a harder institutional sell to build trust with students because it's not affiliated with a department that students have already, seen. Like, it's a really difficult lift for a singular JA to get in there and start building trust when they could have had the Dean of Students showing them the rope or utilizing resources that the Dean of Students Office offers them. So fundamentally, I think this change is the best possible change possible.
I understand that. And there's some ways in which, if I knew what that paragraph meant, that is, that authority and administration of the code, that is so vague. I have no idea what that what that means. And because I have no idea what it means, I don't know what kinds of issues with the current arrangements it is meant to address. And so I'd like us to talk a little bit about what we think should, or, you know, what it is that so in Joe says, what problems we are addressing, and if we were to go in this direction, we have to send this back to the University Council, and they have to tell us what it is they mind, because I can't tell.
Well, it seems like the problem is that the authority and administration of the code or procedures, would it be make more sense if it was administration of the student code and procedures? So it's just the student, and maybe not authority over the code,
authority,
but authority over the procedures?
Authority over the code. I'm sorry,
like, if we take the code out, the word code, and we tie it to student, then...
When you say something like authority over the code,
that sounds
like he can change it at will. You know,
that's what's confusing.
And
right.
This is potentially a very powerful paragraph, but it's also incredibly ambiguous. So, but I do prefer, you know, the existing arrangement to whatever this is. But I can't compare the two as it stands now.
Michelle?
So I think I agree that this is a paragraph that we need to kind of unpack a little bit. So currently the code is the authority of the Board of Trustees as delegated to the University Assembly, which they've sub-delegated to the CJC, right? But the procedures of the current code are within the code, right? And then the hearing board and the review boards have their own procedures that haven't been updated in so long. So what I think this proposal is saying that the code itself and the procedures would be with the vice president of student campus life. So I think when I look at policy documents, right, the idea that a policy should be harder to change, right? So if we're saying that the code as a university policy should stay vested at the board of trustees level, I think that's the alternative argument that they're looking at, right? So this committee might say we want to put the code back to the board of trustees level as delegated to the university assembly, but then the question is, what's the flexibility with the procedures? And so we've seen over the past multiple years that changing one aspect of the code isn't going to happen. Like the idea that I remember a resolution which had unanimous proposal of saying that looking at the jurisdictional timelines for our organizations, we were extended to 3 years, right? We wanted to include some of the hazing and repeated behavior. And the CJC was in full support of that, the UA was full in support of it, but it was omnibus resolution, the president rejected it, right? So when we're talking about that could be something that would be within the procedures or things of that nature if we're starting to do that. So when we think about what we want from this paragraph, I think what we're trying to look for is saying what flexibility do you want in these documents to be able to change it versus what do you want as the overarching? And that's I think that's the framing of the conversation we can have. Mm-hmm.
Jen?
I'm good.
I don't understand the overarching. You said, what's the difference in the procedures versus the overarching? What do you mean by overarching?
So, for example, like policy 6.4, mm-hmm. that's a university policy, mm-hmm. but the procedures are more adaptable. So every mm-hmm. year they go back and say, okay, oh, well, this was this comma really was frustrating for students. They weren't able to understand it, or we actually needed to clarify this provision, or, you know, maybe we should have a provision that says, you know, 21 days, not excluding the days that the university is closed, right? So the idea is you want a little bit more nimble access to your procedures because they can change more readily. But if we're saying the overarching values of our community, right, that it's, so think of the example of, you know, we as a university are probably always going to say that you can't drink if you're under the drinking age, right? Like, we're tied too many drug and alcohol funding. But we want to say maybe that in the procedures, if we said something like, okay, well, currently, let's just pretend it's like 5 days for an alcohol notification. we might want to be able to be more nimble with the procedures and say, well, we should probably just change it to 7. And so the idea is, this is saying that right now in the proposal that the vice president would have the ability to modify and change both. And so I think the question that's before us is, do we want to say that the president or the vice president should have both, should they have one, or should they have none?
Okay. Yeah. Can I?
Yeah.
I view substantive and procedural issues as very interrelated. Right? The procedural protections, I think, are part and parcel of how we implement substantive prohibitions and substantive rights. So I don't really see them as separate. It seems to me that if the CJC is the place where you go to amend the code, that includes the procedures. I just don't see those as separate. Now, if there's a problem with the president not approving what the CJC does, then, you know, that's a different question. And maybe it's making sure not to do an omnibus kind of a proposal, but to propose specific procedures that where we can be more efficient in terms of how that goes through the process. But I don't see any reason to separate the two other than simplicity in a certain way. I mean, it's always more simple to have somebody in charge of saying, well, I'm just going to decide to change this, as opposed to have it go through, you know, a committee and all the discussions. But I don't think that that's a good enough reason. So I would keep them together. And I still think the same question is how to address this question of whether to bring in the vice president for student and campus life. I don't understand, also, like Richard was saying, how it's written. Authority and administration of the code and procedures are vested with the vice president for student and campus life in consultation with the University Assembly. I really don't understand what authority and administration of the code and procedures means there. I just don't get it. So that would be useful for me to get it. The other thing that I don't get is student conduct matters are delegated to the Office of Student Conduct, overseen by the Dean of Students. I don't understand where that fits in relation to the code. Is that saying student conduct matters as they are defined in the code are delegated to the Office of Student Conduct, overseen by the Dean of Students, and what does overseeing mean? I just don't really understand this, and I don't understand where the JA fits in this. It's, I just don't get it.
So I to answer the question and to how I interpret it, so I think when I read this, I see VP of Student Campus Life. That's the symbolic office it's housed under, the vision of Student Campus Life. The Dean of Students being a direct report to VPSEL, and then the Office of Student Conduct, that's the change with the JA. So no longer will we have the Office of Judicial Administrator, we will have the Office of Student Conduct, and that would be, and instead of the JA, would be the Student Conduct Officer. So that's how I'm interpreting it. We shift organizationally the paradigm. And so basically, if Michelle becomes the Office of the Student Conduct Officer, her boss, would, like, direct report would be Vijay, the Dean of Students, and his Ryan. And I think that's how I view it, and I think, like, that's the model of, like, integrating into student campus life. When I read authority administration, I read the office that is, you know, tasked with the ability to undertake, like, to look at if a student violates the code, to go through the procedures, to go through the whole entire motions of a case, to, like, they have the fundamental authority of enforcing the code, and they administer the parts of the code, and they administer all the procedures. So that's how I'm reading it. And I think when I read that, it squares in my mind a lot, just because it's like, if we're changing it to a student code of conduct, this makes sense. Like, this is part of the larger system, and this would be the best place to read it. And so, like, I'm reading it as in, you know, here is organizationally, but also here is just, like, the general charge of the whole entire. Maybe we can clarify, you know, I guess this, it comes in the procedures document as to what the student conduct office is, and I think it's almost better.
What did you just say?
It's the procedures document, the second document that we got from council. I think that those paragraphs explain this paragraph rather than this paragraph explaining those paragraphs. when I originally saw everything come through.
Jen?
So I went and met with Ryan. I made a meeting with Ryan because I wanted to fully be understanding the history, and I wanted to understand, you know, what his thoughts were on it and how it all came about. And that was a really good conversation, and I don't know if others have talked with him about this process and what his thoughts are on student campus life and the code, and I learned a lot from it. I was glad that he gave me a lot of time. That being said, I think the procedures piece needs to be able to be flexible enough within the people that actually administer the code and not have to have it come all the way back up to committee for change. Having administered a code before in my previous life and knowing student, like the educational needs of students and the timelines of students, that can change. Like the 5 to 7 days is a great example. You know, there are things that you're like, we're going to get this done in 5 days, and all of a sudden you're like, we can't get this done in 5 days. We need 7 days. We need 14 days. We need to give students more opportunities. And that flexibility being given to the office that administers whatever the policy is, I think is just so beneficial to the student education piece, which is what we don't want to ever lose sight of. Like, the whole thing should be around an educational initiative to help students learn and grow from their mistakes, from their behaviors, and how we support that endeavor. So, I mean, I fully support the change as it's written. I think that after talking with Ryan and knowing Vijay and understanding and thinking about myself and thinking if I was an island on myself without community, without the student development, you know, resources that whole division has, it would be a hard job to do, and I think it makes the most sense to place in this position.
Richard?
So, thinking about this, there's two suggestions. One is that we send this paragraph back, probably not to the University Council, but probably to Ryan, and say, what do you mean by this? Or what would you like it to mean is a better way to put it. The second suggestion is that we, in the meantime, we work on this paragraph ourselves to try and figure out what it is, if this were an alternative to the existing arrangements, what this would look like. You know, what's the best alternative to the existing arrangements we can come up, not adopting it yet, but perfecting it as a choice with existing part. For example, I really strike authority and just make administration. I really distrust that authority business. But the general suggestion is to perfect this paragraph so that it addresses the concerns that we have with the existing arrangements as best we can.
I have Michelle, then Laura.
So I'm at the Cornell policy page, and so the way that I think what I'm reading this is that the responsible office for the code and the procedures would be the vice president of student campus life. So the policy itself, right? So when we look at who's the responsible office for the policy, it would be the vice president of student campus life. So it'd be Ryan to say, okay, if I'm going to change these policies in consultation with the UA, in the same way that when I look at, for example, like policy 6.4. It talks about that, you know, HR is responsible office, vice president student campus life in consultation with, and they list the their offices. And so that would be like any other campus policy to say, so maybe if we change authority administration with responsible office so that mm-hmm. we're mirroring the other policy mm-hmm. documents. And then I do see that, I think that whoever the office of student conduct reporting to the dean of students, right, that's what I would say. But in the same way that, for example, campus activities report to the dean of students, right? Like they report or through CCE, right? And so they don't do the day-to-day activities of it, but they're ultimately responsible for the supervisory aspect of it. But this, to me, I think the vice president of student campus life is saying that they're the vested authority in which there's policy changes. They're the ones who ultimately have to say it in consultation with the UA. So maybe if we change it to responsible office so that we're mirroring some of these other policy languages.
Which part? With the responsible office.
Instead of authority and administration, so the responsible office for the code and procedures are vested with the university in consultation. So, right, so it would be the two persons having to make that change.
I personally think that that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then it's you're up. I'm sorry, the speaker list is so long.
No, I agree. I agree that authority should go.
So I think the responsible office. I think, Margaret, if you're okay with changing that to see what it would look like.
So, Richard. I'm going to move something. Margaret, just hold on a second. I'm going to move that we send the paragraph as it's worded now. We send it to Ryan and ask for comments and explanations for his understanding. And then, so that paragraph, but the paragraph as it stands, not after we change it. And then we start to amend it in the way that has been suggested. But we got to have that original language to send to him. That's the only point I'm making. Do you want to send it to him?
Yeah, I just want to ask you why.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
Because we can...
Actually, I'm sorry. Is there a second for his motion before we're in discussion?
I guess not.
So I don't know yet.
I withdraw it. So, okay, go ahead, Margaret. So...
Yeah, except that wording still makes no sense.
Yeah, so the vice president of student campus life is the executive responsible for the code and procedures with responsible.
I mean, we can wordsmith it,
but I think that's
more than that. That just makes no sense.
All right. So I'm looking at the original code or the current code. Now it says the judicial administrator shall be solely responsible for the office of the judicial administrator. So that would be changed. And I have a question about that. The judicial administrator shall be independent, although an administrative relationship should exist with the university administration that will support that office, which is very different, right? I mean, this relationship with an administrator with the university administration that will support the office is really different from being overseen by. Mm-hmm. So that's conceptually different, and I think that's the question that I have also is, conceptually with this, would the vice president for student and campus life be able to say to the, if we use the term JA or whatever the term would be able to say to the JA, you must bring this charge against someone for violation of X, even if you don't wish to? Or conversely, would the vice president for student and campus life be able to say to the JA, I know you want to bring this charge, but you cannot. I'm overriding you on this. I mean, what does overseen mean? Is to raise, because that's a huge difference between independence of that office and relationship with, you know, which includes a relationship with the supporting office, as opposed to the term overseen by the dean of students. Or would the dean of students be able to say, you cannot bring this charge, or you must bring this charge? I have Michelle, then Jen, but Jen, or, I mean Laura, I'm sorry, Laura, but is yours in direct response?
Yes.
So Michelle, would you be okay waving just real quick?
Well, I think that's exactly the point, and I think this is more the way that the university, and I think we should go as a university. I do think that it's better for the JA to be under, to not be directly independent. I mean, Michelle and any other JA would have professional ethics and standards. And I know I'm in a position at the university where people can demand things of me that are senior of me, but if I do those, I am in violation of certain regulations and standards. And so I can say no, even though my supervisor tells me I must say yes. So I don't think that so much as a worry if we have somebody responsible and ethical in our JA role.
Couldn't they be fired then?
But there would be procedures and grounds and I don't know how that would happen if that person were behaving in an ethical way. I mean, it could, yes, it could, but anyway, that's, I think this is the way that, more the way that we should go, although I don't like the word authority, and I think it should be based in procedure, administration of the procedures. And that's my feeling.
Michelle? I was going to say that exactly, the idea that we've all been in situations where there's lines when employees have said, you know, supervisors have said, like, you need to cross this line, and you say, I'm not crossing it, and I'm resigning, right? Like, imagine if the faculty, like, if your chair of your department said you had to do something, right? So, having been in this role for a couple of years, I actually feel like I'm more constrained because I don't have university support, that I am the only person who's out on a limb. And the way that the current code is, I actually have to support decisions why I don't want to bring charges against people, right? We have the show cause petition, which on the whole I actually think is a really novel and good thing, but I think, I don't know why there's such little faith in the people who do this job. Like, that's the part that...
You mean your job?
Yeah, the idea. Like, there's always been this historical check to say, well, what if we have a bad J, or what if this? Well, what if we have a bad this person? What if we have a bad this person? But I would hope that this being a senior-level administrative person, that they have the wherewithal to know that if somebody was fired for doing something that was unethical, that it's clear that that'd be a wrongful termination suit, right? Like, there's remedies outside of our system to do that. And so the freedom to be within a division, I think, is much stronger than the freedom that's out of a division. And so I think the question that we as a committee need to decide probably today is, do we want to say that this is no longer an island? And the question is, if it's no longer an island, does it report to the dean of students? Does it report to CCE? Does it report directly to Ryan? I think those are the three questions that we need to decide. But, and, you know, we can tinker with some of that response language. But I think the independence of thought is very different than the independence of reporting authority.
John?
I'm good.
Richard?
So, a minor amendment. Could we eliminate vested with, so responsible office for the code and procedures is the vice president rather than vested with? Mm-hmm. So Margaret, could you just wipe out vested with? The second thing, perhaps equally non-controversial, that one of the things about setting it up like this, we also got to think about the language there, but It makes the university assembly secondary to the vice president. So I might put close in front of consultation, in close consultation with the university assembly, just to strengthen that.
Or even direct. Even direct
or indirect.
I'm willing to go with whatever anybody wants. I just wanted an adjective in there. That strengthens that part of it. And then just a broader note, you know, this paragraph is going to change the relationship of the CJC to the code as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I don't see in this paragraph is any role for the CJC. In some of these things, you know, procedures and oversight and so forth, I'd like to see the CJC have a role in that. The university simply can't practice that kind of oversight. The OJC could. I mean, the CJC could. Anyway, that's the broader.
So to that, I think that indirect or in close consultation with the university assembly, based on our bylaws, is essentially saying the CJC, because the CJC is tasked with revisions to the campus code, and all that. I think that we would just have to amend the bylaws of the UA currently to include for the CJC whatever the new title would be for these documents, and then it wouldn't change anything. It would be the same process in which it comes through this committee, then it gets sent up to the UA, and the UA can send it back to us, but then that's how it opens up. I don't think we would be changing the process itself. Michelle?
Yeah, I think kind of what Richard alluded to is the fact that I think fundamentally the role of the CJC will change. And I think that's a positive. I think the idea that the CJC could be serving students, serving the community to get their input, to find out what matters the code currently isn't having. So I think it would put the CJC in a much more proactive position instead of a reactive position. And so I think it would be a little bit of a learning growth and change, but I think that would probably be a really positive thing for our community that we're looking at it from a proactive point of view instead of a reactive.
So, I want to put that, if you want to put direct,
in front of, if you could add
before consultation, put direct. And I would suggest direct consultation with the University Assembly and the Code and Judicial Committee.
This is just a draft, right?
Yeah.
No, this is just we're perfecting a draft as an alternative to the existing whatever.
Right. But it goes, it goes out for review. So
yes. Once we vote on it.
Yes.
Right. So, why not put the CJC in?
Yeah.
Because it's a draft.
Or we could say indirect consultation with the University Assembly through its Codes and Judicial Committee.
I keep both. Because the University Assembly has a formal, well, at least in this.
That is true.
In appointing. So I would say for now. I do agree, Logan, that at some point we're going to have to spell this stuff out.
In our bylaws, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a, but... for now, I would just add that it's a motion. I move that we add and Code and Judicial Committee, where Margaret has their winter.
I recommend that we refrain from doing motions for all of these right now suggested changes, and we do what we've been doing in the past, which is if somebody adamantly disagrees, then we bring it to the table. Otherwise, we're just going to keep moving. Mm-hmm. So I ask that you withdraw, or I recommend that you withdraw.
Okay, so there's a... I suggest...
Yeah.
I suggest adding
that language.
And Code and Judicial.
Jen and then Risa.
I guess I'm just a little bit worried that we're putting in things that are going to occupy so much space from doing good, right? Like, I understand, and I don't know the history enough of the fear of this administrative takeover of policy or however we're worried about it, but we don't want an office that oversees student and campus life to be held back from making really good changes and movements to be held up in a committee like this if there's something that needs to happen. I believe in consultation with the University Assembly when there's big changes, but if we get into the nitty-gritty of every little thing like that, we might just be putting roadblocks in front of progress, and I don't want us to do that. I don't see administrators today wanting to not do what's in best interest of the students, and we should be in support of that and helping them do that through our role. I don't know how to reflect that or how, if we need to get into the specifics that the VPSCL, that's hard for me to say, is in direct conversation with the assembly and then with the CJC. If there's a change that needs to happen, that could take a long time. Nervous.
Jen, just for clarification, are you suggesting then that there's no consultation whatsoever with the UA or the CJC?
No, and even in my conversations with Ryan, he is all for shared governance, and he believes that that should be the way this continues. I just didn't want to get into the nitty-gritty of all the different layers. Aren't we an arm of the UA?
Yes. So could I ask you just to explain in a little more detail what you mean right now? Because we are the arm of the UA, and any change to the code doesn't go in front of the UA first. It comes straight to this committee. This committee works on it, and then it goes up to the UA for review. So I just want to understand what your proposal would be. Would you like us to come back around?
I'll just think about it while we will talk.
So, Risa, and then Michelle.
So, number one, I don't think we should make decisions about what the code says based on personalities.
of people that we may like or not like in a particular position, right? And this is supposed to be something that can withstand changes in personalities. And certainly I've seen, you know, I've been around here long enough to know there were times where the dean of students was somebody the students couldn't stand, and then other times where they liked the dean of students. So I don't think that that's the basis on which we should be making decisions about, oh, so-and-so has the best interests of the students. Well, maybe the students and others don't think they have the best interests. I just don't think that's relevant. I think what we want is something that will work well in the best of times and the worst of times. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I'm looking at the current code, and it does talk about the rules and regulations for maintenance of public order, which we used to refer to as RAMPO, because it was an odd situation. But those are out of the amended code, which I'm perfectly happy with. But that could only have been amended, those could only be amended by the Board of Trustees under the current code. But since they're now integrated, I think we also have the question of amendments generally, and I don't think we've got anything yet, do we, that specifically says who can amend the code. This is very ambiguous. This just says responsible office for the code in direct consultation with the University Assembly. I'm not crazy about the ambiguity because it sounds to me like it still includes the possibility that the vice president for student and campus life could consult with the University Assembly and then go ahead and make the change and say, well, I've consulted with the University Assembly and they don't agree with me, but I get to make the change. The code now says all other titles of this code, meaning other than the RAMPO, may be amended by the University Assembly subject to the approval of the president. Now, is that something that is being implicitly eliminated? Because I didn't really understand, Michelle, when you were saying the role of the CJC will change and be more proactive. I don't see that in any of this. I don't quite get, you know, what that means. But I do know that I'd like to have something in here that says whether who's responsible and who has the authority to amend the code.
Yes, I can actually answer that. So I'm in the process of amending one of the university policies right now. So I've been working with stakeholders who are impacted by that. Once we have our final draft, we are going to send it to the person who's the responsible officer. We say, these are the changes we would like to make. And that person has the ability to implement them or not. So the way that I'm reading this, and I didn't draft this, I don't, you know, have any changes with that, is that it would be saying that Ryan would say, okay, these are the changes that I think I would like to make, and University Assembly, what are your thoughts on it? And then the decision as the responsible officer would do that, I think.
You mean in the code, when you say the changes?
Yes, like as this is proposed.
Okay, so I am reading it correctly.
But I have to say how fundamentally broken our system is. Mm-hmm. We've all sat around these tables for numerous hours. We haven't changed one substantive thing that's for the better of our students in the 3.5 years since I've been trying to do this. Right, like, we have not made one single change that's for the betterment of our campus population, and we've spent hundreds of hours around this table. Right, so that's the part that I'm struggling with when we're talking about adding all these procedures, and I think there needs to be checks and balances. Like, I'm the forefronter to saying this, but we can't keep adding all these processes and procedures where we're not getting anything done. Like, we'll have a whole generation of students who've gone through this campus thinking that this is our proper conduct system, and it's not.
Richard?
So, I agree with Risa. I'm really uncomfortable. But what you should be doing, I think, is adding language here. So, amendments, something like amendments to the code of conduct shall originate with the code and judicial committee and going through the university assembly and then going to the president. That's the way it is now. And that we need a sentence that says that. If we wanted to decide something else, we need a sentence that says something else. What we can't do is leave it the way it is. That would be my recommendation, the suggestion, that amendments to the code originate with the code and judicial committee and then going through the university assembly, and then to the president's office. That I'm not motioning, but that's my suggestion.
Michelle, call to question is currently written. I want to call to question for this committee to say, to take a vote to say, are we fine with the language as it's currently written? And then Lisa and Richard can share their thoughts on public comment, because there's a lot of this document that we still haven't even touched. And to me, it sounds like we've had enough dialogue and both sides have been able to share their thoughts. And I just think we're ready to vote.
Point of order, are we voting on different sections? I can't remember if that's what we were doing.
That is not originally what we were doing.
Yeah, I thought we were looking at it as a whole and kind of saying, okay, do people feel we've done enough?
So there's not currently an actual motion to vote for the call to, but we don't have a motion standing on the table, on the floor, I'm sorry.
How do people feel about adding one sentence about changes, amendments to, and then voting?
What would we be
Jen,
I just don't know how this committee can originate changes to a process that we don't administer every day. We don't work this out there every day. We don't know what's wrong with it. We are doing the best we can with the information we have, but we're not the ones adjudicating cases or administrating policy to students or enhancing that or training them on it or having them understand it. We're in this room trying to write something that out there, other than the few students that are in the room, this part isn't relevant for it.
Richard?
I think we're already saying, though, that the administrators would be the one responsible for administering. We're just saying that we're going to make the code as good as we can right now, and any change to the code, I mean the administration of the code, determinations around the code, would rest with administrators. We're just saying that any changes after this to the code would run through a committee, which presumably would be a lot less busy once we're done doing this.
Yeah.
So things would move a lot faster than perhaps the process we're seeing right now.
Yeah, so just real quick before you, Risa, I just want to reiterate that it would be amendments to, it wouldn't be, this is us rewriting the code, so these would be amendments that we're talking about in the future that wouldn't take up the entire semester, and in this case it's going to be the entire academic year, but we would be discussing amendments within the committee, hopefully moving forward and not having to do a complete total redraft again anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the language of the current code just changed slightly because we don't have this RAMPO anymore. Works. It says it would be something along the lines of all titles of this code may be amended by the University Assembly subject to the approval of the president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need the CJC in there because we are delegated mm-hmm. the authority by the CJC, I mean by the UA. I think that would do it.
I agree. Richard?
I'm
you were gone?
No. I agree with Lisa, but I'm not done.
Okay.
So, one of the questions, I mean, is that, you know, they're centralizing authority and putting it all in one place. And yes, experience and policy then can be combined. The problem with that, as we know, is that it has a downside, which is separation of powers also gives people a way of contesting. When you centralize, basically this is making the administration judge and jury the same, judge, jury, and prosecutor, and everything else at the same time. And I really, for the code itself, I think that if shared governance means anything, it's got to be a separate body that suggests and proposes amendments to the code. I don't, centralization can make the trains run on time, but, you know, this is also political power.
Can I propose that we add a sentence, like the one you said to the paragraph?
So, Risa,
okay, I'm just going to read it right from here. I don't know if the word titles will be used, but for the moment we'll do that. All titles of this code may be amended by the University Assembly, subject to the approval of the President.
Could you tell Margaret where you
here.
Put that
I'll
exactly?
Just bring that.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's from the code itself. So instead of other, it would be all titles of this code.
It would be at the end, wouldn't it?
No, yeah, at the very end of the paragraph, I would assume. Right?
Here,
all titles of this code. There's no need to. Maybe amended by the University Assembly, subject to the approval of the president. Great, thanks.
And then, Risa, were you saying all titles of this code originally, or is that how you wanted it?
Okay, yeah, of this code.
Okay.
Yeah, and titles should be capital ones.
Joe.
I don't know if we need to say code and procedures. I think we should actually say code and procedures because it's now being called that.
With the P, capital
S. Capital P.
Mm-hmm. Procedures.
Okay, I'm dropping into the conversation, but it seems I'm going to assume things that have been said revolve around accountability and who the finalizing body is of changes. That's why that's there. I think that how I envision this with that, I always envisioned that to be part of it, where essentially what is happening is that, you know, the student conduct officer is saying, hi, we've made some of these procedural changes in the course of the past semester. We just want to inform you upon them. We would like to see that these be changed. And we want these codified. Or it's like that's, I'm seeing this system as a consent-based system. It's essentially saying, okay, we trust that you're adjudicating well. We understand. Thanks for letting us know. Move on. And if there is anything, I mean, that's essentially what we do already. That's why we have an annual report from the JAs, why we have an annual report from the JCCs. They haven't been as effective as informing policy. I have thoughts on that. That whatever. But I think when I think of this, we talked about nimbleness at the beginning of this conversation. Nimbleness is important, especially in the student conduct world. And I think the fundamental thing is this. As a student on this campus, here's how I feel about conduct. I've never felt like at any point in this time, I mean, obviously I'm a bit of an outlier because I'm a student who's highly informed and also a good one. I've never felt like anyone's trying to get me. I've never felt like if I walked in the JA's office and I did something wrong, I'd be like pushing back against it. And I think obviously there's a balance between the rights of a student in their like defense. But there's also just pragmatism, and there's the changing nature of the university. And I think nowadays, how I believe it, the changing nature of the university, especially one that centers student and campus life, exists for students. And if students find disagreement in it, students have a high level of voice by themselves as individuals to change it. And so I think the amendment is fine. I think it's what is intended to always be present in our system of checks and balances, of shared governance, of separation of powers, however we qualify it. But I think fundamentally we have to take this paragraph as this. This is us putting trust in an office, and it's us understanding that students now want this trust. And I think that's it. I think nowadays we need to look at student conduct instead of an adversarial viewpoint and one that is less adversarial. And I agree with the amendment. I think the amendment makes sense, but I agree with I think we're all centering a conversation that is basically similar at this point.
Michelle?
And I'm going to excuse myself in private. I have a student downstairs who's waiting.
Erin, did you have your hand up?
But the one thing that I think this does is this puts us right back to the original position we're in, with the exception of now it's taken away the Board of Trustees' voice. So what happens when we have a gridlock to say that, you know, we're trying to do this, let's say maybe... again, the UA wants something the president doesn't. The checks and balances that we have currently now is at the Board of Trustees because it owns the entire policy. So I just think that this stripped the Board of Trustees from their authority. And so if we're keeping the exact same thing that we're doing, but removing that check and balance, I think we're in a less strong position than we currently are now.
Irene, Laura.
You can go first.
I know it's okay.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking, like,
from like the JCC's point of view, and from like a student, like you're obviously like a good student that hasn't been in trouble with the JA's office before. And just kind of going through the process and like being an advisor for someone who does go through that, you know, the disciplinary process, who maybe sometimes like doesn't deserve to go through the process, but other times like doesn't. Like this is like an adversarial process, whether you guys interpret it to be that way or not. Like it is absolutely adversarial, and in adversarial processes, like there needs to be protections for the people who are being accused of something. It's how we, it's like that, it's how our criminal justice system is set up. And like granted, criminal justice, like there's more at stake there, right? There isn't like lifetime incarceration and everything, but there's a lot at stake for the students here, like their mental health. Like a lot of these kids, like sometimes they're not used to getting into trouble, they're not used to knowing like what their rights are. And I think like if we do acknowledge like outright that this is an adversarial system, like we do have to think about what rights we're protecting for the students, because in the end, like there's a lot at stake for them, and like a lot at stake for the university too. Like Michelle is constantly looking out for like this well-being of this campus, but like the well-being of the campus also means the well-being of individual students, and making sure that when they're going through a very scary process like this, which it is like very intimidating, especially if you don't know anything about it, that there are these like safeguards and these checks and balances. So like I'm like kind of like joining the conversation late, but I just wanted to make that clear from like a different perspective.
And I think, you know, I can appreciate that, but I think the reason why we're doing this rewrite, and I think the reason why the rewrite was ever initiated was to remove aspects of adversarialness, was to remove that part, was to stop the detriment of students' mental health. A more adversarial process leads to more mental health concerns of these students. And every time we take a look at this code, we should be looking to move away from the criminal justice adversarial viewpoint to a restorative justice educational viewpoint. And I think, yes, we can respect rights of students, but I think fundamentally when we look at this code and we look at why we want to move the JA's office to the Dean of Students' office, why we want to make all these changes, it's to reduce adversarial natures. And the more we do that, and the more process that we can, the more changes we make in the violation section. Of course, we cannot remove the natural adversarial natures of some at the UHRB level. But at a fundamental level, as we simplify this code, we make it more educational, it makes it less scary, more informative. And I think we don't have to worry. Like, I think if someone's drinking underage in the dorm, like, I think that you can be an educational moment and not have to be adversarial. Like, that's just point blank. Like, as an RA, like, you just walk in and they know they made a mistake. And, like, I will say, like, hazing, there's always going to be adversarial natures, but we should always strive to an environment where we can provide education around hazing. We can provide a potential point of restorative justice in hazing. If we ever got to that moment, we would change fundamentally the paradigm of what hazing even looks like. So I think as we continue this process, and I think we're straying away from the initial conversation of the amendment itself, and so looping us back, I think that's what we should always be fundamentally basing our opinions out of. It's how can we simplify and create educational moments for our students.
Richard?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any way to eliminate the advocacy rights. You have differences of opinions on facts. You have differences of opinions on the gravity of the offense. You have differences of opinion on intent. If those differences, if one of the parties does not have, you know, those are rights to advocate, to be able to state. If there's no one, no place, if there's or little purchase in the administrative system for that person to have an advocate or an entree or some concern, then those rights go away, they vanish. I think, you know, I'm suspicious when in. Not a view joke, but I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious in comparative politics whenever a president of a foreign country or our own says, "And we're going to get rid of adversarial politics," and we're all. It's the first step towards consolidation of power. That's an abuse of power. And we don't, I think this is right, we need to anticipate that things are not going to be, I like Ryan too, you know, but you know, they're not always going to be the same person, you know, that in these different places that we like or don't like. And so you're designing something, this code is 21 years old. You're designing a code that goes on, you know, anticipating very different situations. Sorry.
I know, like, I'm not, like, part of the voting process, but just want to make sure that, like, the
your
people
opinions
that we represent, that they're people we represent, because, like, I just, like, want to make clear that it's easy to think about this in the abstract, right? In the abstract, it would be nice if everything was restored to justice. It's, like, it's what a lot of people want for, like, just, like, criminal justice in general. It's great to think about that, but it's so hard to put into practice. And then when you're trying to put this into practice, something so abstract, like, there's many times where the JA's office, they will say that they care about, you know, the learning process and, like, restorative justice and everything like that. Under the guise, but, like, what they do in person, like, what they actually practice is not that. And that is just what the JCC's office has consistently recognized. And for the students that get into trouble who, like, there's some students where, like, yeah, you know, you were underage drinking. There's nothing to defend about that. But there's other things where there's serious questions of, like, what kind of evidence is coming through. The evidence isn't fleshed out until we get to the university, until you get to the hearing process. And the student is waiting until 2 days before their hearing to see what evidence is even being brought in front of them. And we ask, what is the educational purpose of this? To hide the evidence and not be transparent. And it's just kind of, like, it's scary to see that, like, we are doing this in the name of restorative justice, but you're taking rights away that will safeguard students' rights in this fundamentally adversarial process. There will always be differences of opinions on, like, what, if there's different findings of facts, there's always going to be differences of opinions. And, like, that's just my worry, is that as you guys try to make this more, like, restorative justice and better for the student, not to forget of, like, what happens when things aren't, like, happening in practice,
mm-hmm.
is all.
So I have Risa and Laura.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is back to, and I do want to guess what is Irene.
Yes.
What Irene's saying as well, but just back to the one point that Michelle had said, well, this change with the amendment that we put in there about who gets to amend removes the Board of Trustees. It does not. The current code says subject to the approval of the president, and it's the Board of Trustees as a whole that, you know, in the bylaws has, as they say, the supreme authority to do everything. I mean, to me, it's actually a compromise to say subject to the approval of the president. So I'm already compromising. So I'm fine with the way this is worded. But I also just want to say on that underlying issue, I'm very much in agreement with Irene in terms of, you know, thinking about from whose standpoint. And that we, you know, how do people view this, that we always have to do it also from the standpoint of those who are going to be. You can say as much as you want, we're here to be nice to you, but if you're charged with something, you're charged with something, okay? It's scary. So I think that that's one of the reasons for rights and procedures. And we haven't gotten to the procedures, okay? So, I mean, just getting through this stuff is killing me, you know? So. I haven't even had a chance to look at the procedures, and really, but it's going to be really important, which is why I think of code, the substantive code and the procedures together, because if you're going to implement mm-hmm. a code, you have to have fair procedures. So I think that it's really important for us to continue to say what are the procedures that will allow for good use of discretion, mm-hmm. fair use of discretion, restorative justice when it's appropriate. I don't think that has anything to do with whether the dean of students is involved or not. You can have restorative justice anyway. But if this will help, okay.
This feels like a compromise position to me. It feels like everybody's voice is sort of heard in here. So I'm wondering if we could just vote on this paragraph. We know it's going to go up. It's a proposal. Mm-hmm. It's going to be reviewed again. I mean, this is a proposal, and it's a proposal that sort of gets our collective ideas on everything. I mean, we still have the administration of it being handled and overseen by, you know, by
the... Do you mean to be sending this whole section or just this paragraph? So I'm wondering, and I know that this is asking a lot of our committee, and I'm hoping it's different for next semester, but if we should consider meeting on Monday to solidify the JA discussion and try to work through this section of the draft so that we can start moving forward onto the procedural section for the meeting of the 25th.
On Monday, you want to meet?
Yeah, the 18th. So it would be 3 weeks in a row for us.
I think we should.
Yeah. I'm recommending that someone moves that we do that. And
so move.
So any discussion or any major conflicts?
I won't be there, but she won't be there.
No, I can change the meeting.
I have a standing meeting every third Monday.
Oh, I forgot. That's why we did this.
But
what time is your meeting?
1.
Just make sure we have a quorum. Can everybody else meet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Meet? Okay. So right. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Okay. That's enough. So if we can get a quorum on Monday, we should do it. That's it. So we've moved and seconded, and now you.
Yeah. So is up for yeah, Joe?
No, I was going to vote yes.
Called the vote. Okay. So all in favor of meeting on Monday?
I'm
not
agreeing. It's a good idea.
Yeah. Any opposed? And, I mean, although yes, actually, so it's unanimous. You know, quickly, just before that, Richard, I'm just going to outline it again that we just voted and approved we're going to meet next Monday from 1 o'clock until 2:30 p.m. I'm going to find us a room and get food. And now, Richard.
So I think Laura and others wanted to approve this paragraph. I'm probably the outlier on it. I'm willing to go along, though. Okay. But I have a request, which is we've got this section, and we have this section that I worked on, and we can combine those. If we could go separately, I mean, I want to talk to you for a moment, so, unless you have a chance. But I don't want you to leave over. That we individually go through and say, you know, where we have objections or not.
Because then we could, I think a lot of this stuff, we can just run through and get it done on paper. And I'm willing to do this paragraph. I'm going to look at it and think about other changes or whatever, but I'm willing to do it.
Well, when we come back next Monday, could we avoid this paragraph and just do the rest?
That's what I'm saying.
That Richard is saying that he wants to move to vote on this paragraph.
I thought, Laura, that was your motion.
I wondered if we could.
Suggesting, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we have a consensus.
There's no lock box. I just wanted to make sure that we don't have anything to work on, like directly right now.
Okay. No, I don't think we're moving anything else on here. Okay. Laura, you'd like to move to...
I withdraw.
Okay.
And I suggest that next week Monday we don't look at this, we go through the rest of the document, and then we save voting or revising this last.
Okay, so Laura's moving to work through everything in the document minus this paragraph that we just spent the last 45 minutes on. Is there a second to Laura's motion, Jen? Any discussion or comments? So then, all in favor? All right, any opposed? One abstention, and so that's moved. And so at our next meeting, we are going to go through everything minus that one paragraph.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna be here next week, a question came up about the jurisdiction of the code over academic departments and behavior. And students within academic departments. So if that, when you get to that part next week, I'm not gonna be here, but thinking about if there's something that happens outside of academic integrity, because we have policy for that, but if there's something that happens within an academic department, let's say hazing, And where does that fall? Because the jurisdiction now says fraternities, sororities, clubs, and organizations.
Could I interrupt you for a quick sec?
Please.
Would you feel comfortable sending us an email outlining all
yes.
of this?
Yeah.
That, I think that that would be really helpful, and I can actually attach it.
Perfect.
So that you're represented in that opinion.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I would love that.
Okay.
And then if anyone wants to motion to adjourn this meeting. Any second.
Me.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. All in favor of the meeting, I'm just going to...
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.